you would, you can go to Luke chapter 12. Just park there a moment. What we did was, is we had talked some of this on Rosh Kodesh. I know that Josh and him did down on the coast. Before I get into the message, because as the Father is so beyond awesome. I mean, ever since we started, when we come back from Sukkot during the fall, you know, the one thing he gave us was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which everybody knows is the love chapter, but it's really more than just that cliche of a word. And we talked about you can't give what you don't have. So Yahweh is the one, our Heavenly Father is the one that gives us the love and gives us the ability to be able to love. To be able to, and there's two commandments. That was one thing that was asked of Yeshua. And he said, what is the greatest commandments? And he said, number one, love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So we know that we have to have love first. And we've been going through that. The other thing that we went through a few months ago was serve and servitude and being a steward of being able to serve one another. Now, you have to know and understand that whenever I pray and I ask the Father each month what to get, I mean, he gives it to me, but I have no clue why. I mean, he just does it, and I have to go by faith, and we put it out here. But he's the one over the month strings the pearls together. Because then it shows up, this month was the one of Ziv, which is the second month, is the word light or splendor, light or illumination. Josh, when me and him were sitting back there, he came up with this little triangle, love, serve, and light, when we were going through exactly what the Father would have us to do. So with that said, now we're going to go over what we call a faithful and an evil servant. Because here's the thing, guys. The very presence of Yeshua living in our life is that light that shines forth to the people. It's not us. It is us, but he gets all the glory he gets because we can't do anything within ourselves. Amen? We can't. That's why when we pray after we eat, you know, a lot of times I know we pray before we eat, but the commandment is to pray after you eat. Why do we pray after we eat? And here's the reason why I really believe this. It's because when you're hungry, you'll do anything to get something to eat. You'll do anything for the honey bun. You know what I'm saying? When you're hungry, you'll do anything for a snack cake. When you're hungry, you'll do anything. But what happens once you eat your honey bun or you eat your apple fritter, if you eat whatever, you eat your apple, whatever you love, when you eat it and you're satisfied, there's no more craving there. So you know what? You're satisfied. You're done. But what does the Father do? He says, you know what? Even when you're satisfied, I need glory and praise because I'm the one that gave you to be able to cause you to be satisfied. And what did he do with Israel? He didn't have a problem blessing Israel. The problem was, is when he blessed Israel, Israel would forget who blessed them. And then they would turn around. We was reading in the scriptures this week, this man saying, man, I have been blessed. He turned instead of saying, I've been blessed. He turned to say, I have all this stuff. I need to tear down these barns and build bigger barns. Only to do what? When he did it, then he died. Who's all the stuff left for? You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is, that we have to recognize, and I do recognize, that he is the source and the supplier of all of our needs. He is the one who gives us help. He's the one that whenever something happens in our bodies, he is our healer. He's already paid the penalty and the price for healing in our body. And so our mindset is what gets us goofed up, because that's where, as we learn, when fear tries to mix with faith, there is nothing going to happen until we cast out how much fear? All fear. You have to cast out all fear. And so that's where we're at from this love to the servant part. And by being a great servant, then you can produce the light. And you know what? People can tell the difference, and that's what this is about. All right, verse 35 says this. It says, stay dressed. Now, this is the ESV, okay? I'm reading out of that. Mine says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be active, serving him in the way he intended for us to serve him. That's how we keep our lamps burning. We don't just create a way to serve him. In this book, which is the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, he tells us how to be his servants. And if we will serve him like he intends, then light will shine. If we don't like that and we try to create another way to do it because we think it's a good thing to happen, you know what? It's not going to work out for you that way. Because his word, everything in his word builds on the next thing. For those that teach, and I know a lot of homeschoolers here, you know that whenever you teach and you start in elementary, you lay foundations. And you just can't go from first grade to eighth grade. You can't do it. You just have to be patient to know that he has to lay a foundation, because once you learn all of these things, the higher learning, you have to have these tools here. You have to have these understanding. His word is no different. His word is we have to learn. We have to go. And you know what? We have to get gray hairs. We have to have skint knees. We have to have these things in our life, because sometimes we're hard-headed. I know I've been hard-headed, even if I was born on Shabbat. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it don't guarantee you. But you know what, really and truly, it's not about that day of being born. It's whenever we're born again. Amen. That's our birthday. Amen. It's that day. That's the important day. You know, I was afraid Tammy was going to say, you know what? You sinned because you caused your mother to labor on the Sabbath. I thought that's what she... But I was glad we sort of got past it before she thought quick, okay? So we done that. I know. Yeah, that's right. All our kids were born on Shabbat. She was the only one that was sort of left out on the days of the week. Okay, verse 36, and it says this, "And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and he knocks. Always be ready." This is what the word came to Mark. Be ready, be awake, be prepared. Remember these questions we talked about last week. Are we living our lives with eternity in view? Are we regularly anticipating the return of Yeshua? And if we are or not, how does that affect our priorities, choices, and ability to preserve? What we're doing today is going to show how we're going to be ready, or are we not ready. Either we're going to be ready for the return of Yeshua, or either we're going to be doing our things, and when he comes as a thief in the night, we're not going to be prepared. And we're going to be scrambling. It's just like this. Think about it. You're at home. You're in bed. It's 12 o'clock. You're tired. There's a fire. What do? What do you grab? Usually what I say is what do you grab? Because what you try to grab is what you think is the most important. Are you going to go and get your family out? Or are you going to go get all of your paperwork out? What do you grab? And that's for everybody to take their own inventory, because something in your safe, something in your house is important to you. And that's the things. What do you grab if you had to get out in an emergency? That's the way we need to think, that we need to be prepared, that if we grab something, you got to know that when you get out, that's what you have. And if you come out with your land deed and your family burns up, that's what you got, a land deed. You know what I'm saying? So you really need to, that's what this is talking about, really being prepared and knowing, because if you're not prepared, when Yeshua returns, because even Yeshua doesn't know. But when he returns, guess what? When Father says, go get your bride, he's not going to hesitate. There's going to be a trumpet blast, and he's going to saddle up. And I guarantee you, angel's already going to have it saddled up, and he's coming. And when he comes and you hear that trumpet blast, it's not time then to try to run around and see what you're going to grab. So this is what he's saying. In other words, stay dressed for action. Keep your light burning. Don't let it go out. Verse 37, he says, blessed are those servants. We're talking about servanthood and serving. Blessed are those servants who the master finds awake when he comes. You know, there's a parable about the talents. But one of them who had one talent, what did he do? He went and buried it. And then when the master returned, he had to go dig it up. Guys, don't bury your talents. That's what you were talking about in your testimony, the 5-amp fuses. Don't bury our talents. There's talents that the Father places in every community for us to work with one another, because he really means it when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He puts people in communities with talent so that we can serve one another. It's just like how he did whenever they built the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle that Yahweh ended up, he gave talents to men. I mean, think about how great a talent would be if you go and you look at the lampstand and what he told you about the lampstand and who he told it to build the lampstand and didn't give him any measurements. How did he know? But he built it exactly because the Father gave him the talents, and he said if he equipped him to do it, he will give him the vision to fulfill it. And that's the way it is. And do you know what? And if he didn't give it to me, I don't need to be worrying about and crying and whining about why didn't he give me that job. And that's what happens. In the body of Messiah, he gives us all talents. I can do electrical work and I can do air conditioning work. And like I've told you before, I can't build anything. But I can help people build. I can help hold. I can put a nail in. I can tear down. I can tear up. And I can do all of these things. I can do that. But the thing about it is, just so I can't build something structurally doesn't mean I can't help. Amen. It does. And that's where servant is not, well, that ain't my job. I'm the electrician. Well, you know what? We're not doing electrical work today. We're doing framing today. You know what I'm saying? No, we are to serve one another. If it's framing, I know I can't frame, but I'll show up with a hammer. I ain't going to show up with a tape measure because I can't read it. But I'm going to show up with a hammer, and I'll show up what I need to do. Now, I'll hold the dumb end of the tape. We did that little basketball thing. Y'all ought to go see the little basketball goal. I mean, we laid it out in a court, and I held the dumb end of the deal. And Jeremiah did all the smart work. Measured over here, and we done all the arcs and all of that. But, hey, you can serve. We can help. We can do something. Amen. We can do something, even though, because once the framing gets done and everybody gets ready, the electrical's next and the air conditioning's next. And you know what? I don't want to pull all that wire by myself. But do you know, if I sit there and if I don't help you, do I expect you're going to help me when it's my turn? Let me go out there and try to pull thousands of feet of wire by myself. And I'll say, where's everybody at? I thought they loved their neighbor. Well, where was I when the framing took place? See, that's how we work together. Everybody has opportunities to serve, and then when it's time for your talent, then you get in there, and then everybody will help serve you. Amen? 37, blessed are those servants who, when the master finds awake, when he comes, he says, truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table. He will come and serve them. Now hold your finger there, and let's go to Luke. Don't lose your place there in Luke 12. But let's go to Luke 21. And I have the scriptures up here. They're going to be in order until I get somewhere. So one of these the Father started adding to it. So in Luke 21, 34, it says this. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation, with drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day comes upon you suddenly like a trap. But watch for yourselves, unless your heart be weighted down. So I see this word, dissipation, and I'm like, really and truly, what is that? I looked it up, and it says excessive drinking or self-indulgence, a headache from drunkenness or hangover. Because then it makes sense, because he says dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. So what happens from drunkenness? It dulls your senses. What happens from too much of anything that's of a drug-oriented? It dulls the senses. Your heart is weighed down. There's a hangover that happens. And he says, and if you live your life, and even the cares of this life can bog you down that way, to where when that day comes, and God, that day's coming, that day comes down or comes upon you suddenly, and it'll be a trap. I put it like this. For those who are watching and are anticipating the return of the Messiah, that's an awesome day. But to some people, it's going to be a trap because they're not ready. And we're going to read some scripture later to where they're going to plead and say, we did a lot of great things in your name. But it's either going to be an awesome day or it's going to be a trap. This is for us to stay awake. This is for us. This is what we do here every Shabbat. We have a time of an awakening blast that we do to make sure that we, because the cares of this world, our jobs, the things that's happening. Doug and Tara just, they're embarking on a great project. They're building a house now. And I will promise you, every waking moment can consume them in what's next. Brian and Sharon's doing the same thing. Sandra and Terry, they just finished, and they're like, hallelujah. All we got is the totes to go through. No, but just still that way. But does it not consume you? It does. You can't help it. You can't help it. When you're building a house and you're contracting that yourself, you're celebrating that Shabbat's here because you get a day of rest, but your mind don't shut down. Because sometimes when you get into that, Dodie, that's right, you're flipping one, and that's right, the Radoviches is doing the same thing. Man, everybody's building a house. Don't you get no ideas, huh, man, girl? Tammy, don't you get, I'll put another emoji up there, you girl. Yeah, but I'm putting that off as long as I can. That's a read. But here's the thing. But what I'm saying is this just, yes.
Make a comment about what you're just saying about serving others or be caught drunk. One of the things we know or we have learned about love is in ancient times it meant covenant loyalty also.
Amen.
It wasn't just the warm fuzzies, which, you know,
that's
we
right.
need to love in that way also. But so when you're talking about your neighbors or your community, to love them, you're in covenant loyalty, and we should serve them.
Amen.
You know, and then by doing so, we are walking in the light. Because we're walking in his Torah, because that's his commandment for us to do. They say a lot of times, you know, if you're in depression or you're just going through a tough time and all you can think about is your problems, your problems, the best thing to do is make yourself get up and go help somebody else.
Amen.
And get out of your mess.
Amen.
So in that way, we can't get caught up in the world if we're serving our neighbor and taking our time to do good things for others. We're not getting caught up in that in our own mind.
That's right.
In our own mess.
Amen.
The Father is smarter than we are.
Amen. He is. And he's designed us to serve one another. That's what he's designed us. Because we need one another. You know, I was watching something the other day. You take a cell. Everybody knows what a cell is? Like a cell in your body? Well, if you're a liver cell, then that's what you need to do. You need to be the best liver cell you can be. And you don't need to worry about, because all cells have DNA, RNA, mitochondria. They have all the things that make up a cell. Amen. There you go. Am I getting pretty good? There you go. I got the doctor in the house. I'm not. That's about as far as I'm going, because I'll be throwing another, but that's right. But here's the deal. But the cells, even though they're equipped with the same message and the same function and everything for being a cell, but when you stick one in a liver, then it does the liver thing. Is that okay, Doc? And when it's in a heart, it does the heart thing. When it's in the gallbladder, it does the gallbladder thing. And you know, and when they stop doing their things, things hurt. You know, and you need, that's why our cells of our body need to be healthy. We need to feed them good things, just like we are like cells in a body. We're like cells in a body, and we need to be, here at River of Life, we're a community of people. And we need to be functioning like a community of people. And we need to make sure, because this is why, if you're hurting, we're hurting. If there's issues, and if there's an aching in the camp, then there's aching in the camp. You know what I'm saying? And that happens. It's our responsibility. We're redeemed people. We need to act like redeemed people. We need to show people that we're redeemed people. We shouldn't. But if you get back into things that's going to weigh you down, then what you do is you start weighing. If you're a liver cell and you start weighing the liver down, guess what? Other cells have to do extra work to keep that healthy, because they just can't stop. Because if they quit, the whole body as a whole will die. So that's why we need to learn to serve one another. We can help one another, even though we may not be. I am not. If I was the best electrician or the best air conditioning guy in the world, I would be CEO of a company. No, I'd own the company. But I'm not. But at least the knowledge that I do have, I can help people keep cool when they're hot. You know what I'm saying? And do the best we can. And you know what? If I can't figure it out, go to YouTube. No. But the thing is, if there's somebody there you can go to that's done that and had the experience, because really and truly, they have people that's had hard things happen and they put it out there. And you can go and say, wow. Just like when I worked on his, Arnold will tell you, he's not an air conditioned man, but he was there and he watched me when we fixed that, because there's a little short somewhere that blew that fuse, or lightning can blow that little fuse, little 5-amp fuse, but it's there to protect everything else. So it doesn't happen. What does it do? You know what? Experience or wisdom tells me that let me check that fuse first. Don't start trying to reinvent the wheel. Well, let's just go and let's just look at the compressor. You know, and you start, next thing you know, his whole house is tore out. Oh, wow, it's the fuse. Now you got to put the house back together. That's just the way it works, that we rely on one another. Okay, verse 35. For this day that we're talking about that's going to come certainly, guess what? Verse 35 said it will come upon who? Everybody. It comes upon all. Nobody escapes that day who dwells on the face of the whole earth. Look at the next verse. This is what the prophecy came forth. But stay awake. When? At all times. There's no time for sleeping on the job here. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and beforehand, before the Son of Man. Now let's go back to Luke 12:38. All right, so when are we to stay awake? It says here, it says all times. It says, if he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and find them awake, blessed are those servants. So there's blessings, to keep your finger there. And let's go to Mark 13, verse 32. He says this, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. He's the only one that knows. But he's telling us, be on guard, keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man who's going on a journey, and when he leaves home, he puts who in charge? Guys, he's got us in charge of this. He's put his servants in charge of this. It's our job, when we become redeemed and we're learning this word, it's our job to keep one another awake. It's our job to be able to continue to serve one another for his purpose. To worship, to praise him, to be able to do exactly what the word tells us to do. Because he puts his servants in charge, and he says, each one with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. You know what a doorkeeper is? It's a busboy. It's the butler. It's the one that when you ring the door and somebody comes, he goes and gets the baggage. The doorkeeper don't go to the door and say, oh, we've been expecting you, bring your own luggage in. That isn't what a doorkeeper does. A doorkeeper goes and he serves the master of the house. And that's what we're doing. We're serving one another. So that's what a doorkeeper is there. Verse 35, he says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. There's four watches there. Luke talked about two. The evening watch is from 6 to 9. Midnight is from, 9 to 12. And then the rooster crows is from 12 to 3, and the other morning is from 3 to 6. You can see these watches that he's even telling you, Yeshua is using it for Mark's account and also Luke's account. He's telling us to stay awake. All right, let's go back to Luke 12, verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Then Peter asked this question. Peter said, Master, are you telling this parable to us? Or for who? Or for all? Well, Mark 13:37 said what? All be ready. So the answer to that one is, he's telling this parable for all of us. Verse 42, and the Master said, Who is faithful and a wise manager, who is the master, will set over his house and give him portions of food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And truly I say to you, then he will set him over all his possessions. Look at verse 35 because of what happened at the very beginning. If the servant says to himself, my master has delayed his coming, and begins to beat his male and female servants, and to do what? And to eat and drink and get drunk. That ties back in with Luke 21:34. It ties back into that, talking about don't have dissipation and drunkenness in the cares of this life. Verse 46, and the master of that servant will come on that day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and he will cut him into pieces. Now listen to this, and he will put him with the unfaithful. Now I thought that was very odd. I'm going to read this again. And the master of that servant will come on that day when he does not expect him, in an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces, and he will put him with the unfaithful. My question there was, is who is the unfaithful? The unfaithful is not the heathen, because the heathen are not looking for him. Guys, this is tight, but it's right. You got to realize this. This is the heathen are not looking for the return of the Messiah. And so here's a servant who's not doing his job, and he's going to be put up with the unfaithful. Verse 47, it says, and that servant, well, you know a heathen's not a servant. If he's serving anything, it's Satan. He's not serving the master. But that servant who knew, this is the key, that servant who knew his master's will. It was somebody who was in some form of relationship, but evidently wasn't in the proper relationship of this book. Because it says this, that this servant who is bad knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will, he says, will receive a severe beating or punishment. That's what that is. But the one who did not know deserve a beating will receive a light beating. Now let's go to Mark chapter 7. We're going to pick up here. And Tammy, would you go to 2 Corinthians 11? I want to get you to read 13 through 15 for me because of time and all. I just wanted to show you right off the bat here just what was prophesied to us is we need to stay awake. We're seeing that. We're seeing stay awake. It's important that we stay awake because you never know what's going to happen. He's been talking about servanthood and blessed are those who do what they need to do. But I just want to let you know that they are good servants, but they're also bad servants. And the question is, I hope and pray that we're all good servants. Amen? But Paul dealt with some things, and that's going to be what happened in 2 Corinthians. These are people who are, as we say, going to church. These are people who are functioning every Shabbat, but yet there's a problem that arises in their life. I'm going to read this in 7:15, and I'm going to have her read 2 Corinthians. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And we've heard these scriptures a lot over time. 2 Corinthians 11 says what?
Well, what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Messiah. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds.
Amen. This ain't as easy as it sounds. This is why I sort of want to slow down here just a second. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, and he's also said others who follow his ways can also disguise themselves as angels of light. This is where it is so important for discernment to take place. And to know, if you don't know this book, if you don't know this book from cover to cover, that's where deception comes in. Now, I'm not saying that I've never been deceived. I have. Because I say this right here. I only know what I've been taught. If I've been taught wrong, I know wrong. If I've been taught right, I know right. That's where the mercy of Elohim comes in, is because if our heart is really to love this word, to get in here and do this word. But here's the key. The key is that once he shows you something, you have to do it. If you don't do it, you stop growing. He's not going to take you to step. If you can't pass first grade, you're not going to second grade. Because every grade, every step, when they came out of Egypt, even when they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, was important. Because to them, they had to kill a ram to do that. They had to kill a sheep or a goat to do that. And those sheep was part of their gods. And they had to kill part of their gods to put that blood over there. They was probably a little bit afraid. But the Father had put so much pressure on the Egyptians, they was like, I think we'll kill them for you. Just get out of here. But you can see where the Father, even though he asked you to do a hard thing, he's going to do his work on the other side. But every step of the way is faith building. Because even when they went through the Red Sea, as powerful as that was, and I can't comprehend this, to be able to stand there with Pharaoh on one side and a big fire sitting up here blazing, protecting Israel from them, knowing, oh, he's brought us out here to kill us. That's all that we're going to say the whole trip. That's all that ever comes out of their mouth. He brought us out here to kill us. He does something miraculous, and then something else comes up. They get hungry. He brought us out here to kill us. You know, and then something else happens. They get a little thirsty. He brought us out here to kill us. That was I'm like, man, let's change the books here somewhere. But that's what happened. But he's teaching them, you're never going to take the promised land with an attitude, you brought me out here to kill me. You brought me out here to kill me. No, he brought us out here not to take us back again. And he brought us out here to possess the land that he's asked us to possess. But there has to be training, because when you go into the land, there has to be some taking to take. There has to be some doing. There's a staying awake. There's a work and a job that we got to do. I know this is an awesome community. This is really an awesome community. Because when most people say they need to move, a lot of times people will show up and they'll bring trailers and they'll dig your slab up if you let them. You know, they'll just move you and they'll do if you asked. Now, I do know sometimes that maybe people get working and maybe everybody doesn't show up. We think sometimes. But the thing as a whole, people's heart is to really want to get out and serve if they can. That's the key, is to be able to, whenever we come up to a roadblock or when we come up to some kind of obstacle in our life, the first thing we can't say, he brought me out here to kill me. We can't go on our knees whining. Go on our knees saying, Father, what do you want to show me? What do you want to show me by this trial that I'm in? What do you want to show me here that's going to make me stronger? What do you want to show me here? Show yourself mighty on my behalf. Because that's what he wants to do. Because see, when you get to a place you can't do anything and you're on your knees, you're already resolved, I can't fix this. And if you resolved it to where I can't fix this, he's finally saying, now you're getting to the point. But I ain't brought you out here to kill you. If I was going to do that, I'd have killed you back there. So guys, he ain't in the killing business. He's in the restoration business. He's in the deliverance business. But he wants us to grow up. You saw my beautiful emoji where I had the bottle and the bonnet? You know, I still had a 59-year-old head. But the thing is he doesn't want me to be 59 eating on that bottle. He wants me to grow up into a mature man. He wants us all to grow up into mature sons and daughters of the King. That's what he's wanting us to do. He's depending upon us to do that. Servanthood is very important about that. But in this scripture, and I'm going to close here, because it is very, very important that we can recognize what's going on in our lives. Some people will always ask, somebody was at work this week. Remember last week I was telling you that Rosh Kodesh, the head of the month, determines the months, the phases of the moon, and you got the sun, the times of the years with the equinox and all. But to turn around and say, how do I know that this is the seventh day? There's nothing in creation that will tell me except creation, when he said this is first day, I know there's 7 days. And then it starts over. Even though you may say it's the 8th, 9th, 10th, but it starts over day 1, day 2, day 3, all the way through. But it has to be by faith. And to sit here and minister that, and then the very, this guy's boss asked him this question this week. How do you know the day is the seventh day? How do you know that Yeshua died for our sins? How do you know that His blood applied is going to get us into eternity? It's by faith. There's a lot in this book that's a faith walk. If he asked me, if he brought a commandment forth for me to honor him on the seventh day on Shabbat, it's up to him to put me started off on that right day. Other than that, the whole world. Because this is day seven here, it's day seven in Russia, it's day seven in Australia, it's day seven everywhere. Everybody's, you know, come to the conclusion this is day seven somewhere. And eventually time's going to hit it and it's going to be day one before day seven ends. I understand that. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, in China, it's not the second day in China today. And then in Russia, it's the fourth day. You know what I'm saying? So you have to know that somehow or another, the Father has got us on the right path. Or we're all in unintentional sin. That's out of our control. So what am I saying? The things that are in our control, we need to do. And we need to do 110% and with joy. And the things that are not in our control, Brother Tom, we don't worry about it. Amen? We don't worry. We're going to serve Him and we're going to praise Him. And He's healed in Yeshua's name. Amen? And that's what that's about. Amen? Let's pray.